It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, you know when you're sleeping and someone's cooking bacon and you're like, oh, wait a second, who's up? I'm in.
My ex-wife would say, I know what it's not when I get underneath those covers.
The Dutch oven?
Here you go. Here's one for you and one for you. And here's another for you.
So gross because you're lactose intolerant. Oh, you eat ice cream every night.
Oh, dude, I can almost do that on command. It's great. That's one of the great talents that I have.
You don't live with your own wife now.
On command.
That's why your wife doesn't live with you. Disgusting.
I make myself even giggle at night when I do that.
Working on a night move.
That's great.
Trying to make some front page driving news.
All right, looking for those sleepers today in your bracket. Also, maybe some call your cousin action on March Madness. Also, talk to our buddy Bob Ballou coming up, and you are gross, but your wife is on a pilgrimage.
Yeah, she's...
That is a good night.
She's trying to discover the deep south, I guess. That's what she's... Good. You know, I think that's cool.
The land of their ancestors.
Not hers her and ancestors. Not hers. Hers is from Germany
when
or whatever.
When does she return?
Like Monday or Tuesday. This is a drive, and she's driving through.
Oh, driving trip.
Yeah, this is a driving trip.
That's how you have to do a deep south trip like that. There aren't really anywhere you should drive.
I didn't want to. I know BK is preparing himself for the award-winning show that comes up next.
Self-proclaimed.
We've won some non-self-proclaimed awards.
Oh, you've got some.
We are both WOW winners in this building. So
okay, just wanted to make sure that
you won a WOW award.
Of course,
in this building. That's right.
I turned it down.
I'm part of that committee. Oh. What do you mean? What'd you turn it down for?
Because he felt like he was just doing his job. Possibly.
I felt like I was just working. I didn't think I needed an award.
I don't see any of your awards hanging up here in the studio.
Ooh. I actually didn't even accept it.
Okay. It wasn't even accepted. Okay, so I wanted to ask, yesterday there was a new card guy where I was playing golf yesterday, and he just happened, when he met me, I introduced myself to him, and he said, my man. And then I saw him a couple of times during the course, and I didn't play. You know, I went to hit balls and do some stuff. And he kept calling me my man. Is that okay, BK? I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was personal. It didn't feel different, but you got some. He didn't say, yo, brother. He didn't go, bro. He didn't bro me, E. He just said, my man.
Okay.
You were cool with that?
I was cool with that.
Not everyone's cool with that.
Not everybody would be cool with my man.
Everyone's cool with that.
Really?
Does it matter how you pronounce it? Like, my man.
There's and apologies for generalization. I don't mean to generalize here, but okay. I know of evidence of this in real life and in movies and TV shows where sometimes if a white guy goes up to a black guy and calls him my man, that's just, you shouldn't do that.
What?
Unless it's like one of your good friends. If someone's cool with it, but you just can't go up and be like, my man, you can't just do that.
I don't understand that. Is that racially insensitive
or something?
Does that hit a racially insensitive button by going up? If I'm down on 6th Street and I see somebody that I think I know, but I say, hey, yo, my man, is that a bad one?
I can't, but that person can't say that to me.
Yeah,
we got to open that up to the texters, man.
That's
a white man calling another man, black man, my man.
There's something that hit a button there.
Does it like indicate that like he's part of your property, like my man? Like,
perhaps.
Hey, my man.
I wouldn't think of it that
your
way.
Man?
And I'm an old dude, and I wouldn't think
I don't
of
have
that.
Problem with it.
I'm just thinking that's a greeting for me.
What if he said, hey, bro?
That one always gets me. I don't like people calling me bro. I'm not your brother.
He's calling you brother. You cool with a white random white dude calling you brother?
What's up, brother?
That bothers me more than my man.
Okay.
See, I'm down with my man. Because you know that happens quite a bit. You see someone, hey, my man, what's going
on? Yeah, you do
bro?
That to like someone you're friends with. You wouldn't do that to a guy on
complete
the golf
stranger.
Course that you don't know.
You mean like the doctor at the, if I was at the club and there was the doctor?
If you were at Dr. Orange Cocky, do you want him to come up to you and be like, my
or
man.
Cocky, please.
I would be okay with that. I don't get that one. I need some help from the texters on that one. Is that?
I'm okay with it. I think
not
that's
acceptable
good.
Or acceptable. I'm going to go BK that we're probably going to get 70% acceptable, 30% not really.
It says you're thinking of my boy, nothing wrong with my man. That's true. It's true.
Yeah, don't go boy.
Didn't Fuzzy Zeller call Tiger Woods the boy?
Called him little boy.
Little boy back in the day?
Little boy.
That was a while back now, but
yes.
Tiger will be here this weekend. All right, so we'll take your thoughts on that.
Otis, my man from Animal House, remember?
Yeah, this guy referenced the Animal House. Otis,
yes.
My man. Yes. Yeah, I like that. I'm down. All right, so we'll take your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
verbal form of engagement.
Somebody says it. They go, nah, just don't say boy. That's okay.
Just don't say boy.
Just
I
don't
think
say
that's
boy.
Probably right.
Okay.
And this was the cart guy that's got handing out the carts or whatever?
Yeah, I was like, cool. I thought it was very personable the way he greeted me. What's up, my man?
I think I got called my man yesterday, too. I went to lunch at Doc's backyard, and the manager, he goes, hey, what's up, my man?
There you go.
I was getting some wings, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
Having some lunch, watching some hoops.
Nothing wrong with that. We get offended very easily in this day and age. You know what I mean?
Seeking to be offended. That's the BK's millennial group. They grew up looking for things.
Wags calls people my man all the time.
All the time. It's my go-to.
Wags is the ultimate my man guy.
He is, isn't he?
Hey, let's go to
let's talk to my man,
the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. You'll hear him tomorrow morning, along with Carl Mickelson, the debut of our new golf show, Playing Through. It's the Horns Golf Show, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, which will lead right into Big Ugly Outdoors and 0900. But it's now the leadoff batter of our Saturday morning lineup. He is Bob Ballew. Bob Ballew, how are you?
I'm good. I thought we were calling it Playing Through with my man.
There you go. Playing Through with my man.
That was on the table. Well, it's just the first show, Bob. We can adjust. We can adjust on the fly. How are you? I hear you're home with a sick baby.
Oh yeah, she's had a little virus. She can't kick all week, and so yesterday I really got to teach her a lot about basketball. We watched about 12 hours of basketball, and she was real excited about that. She didn't want to watch Paw Patrol at all. She wanted to watch basketball.
Oops,
so,
there you go.
Oops, with Pops.
Yeah. So big day here. Probably another one coming because she's getting close to getting over it, and. So hopefully she can get through today, and then we'll have a fun weekend.
What was your take on the hoops from yesterday? Anything stick out to you? There were some blowouts, not a lot of those really close buzzer beaters, Belmont, I guess. What was your take on day one?
Yeah, I think we were all every day. Every time the tournament comes, you want like 15 buzzer beaters on the first day. We didn't really get that. The only game, I mean, certainly the Belmont game was a good one. I thought. Watching Auburn self-destruct and then somehow finding a way to win was one of the more entertaining things of the day. That was incredible. But really, otherwise, it was, you know, I mean, Murray State looked great. John Moran is awesome. And, you know, for the first time, a lot of people in the nation got to see him. There's a reason he's going to be, you know, the number two pick in the draft. Hoops was good yesterday, I think. I have a feeling we'll see a little bit better today, but you never know. I mean, sometimes these things are – sometimes those buzzer beaters take until the later rounds to really get going.
I thought, the Big Ten was undefeated yesterday, Bob,
yeah.
But how about the Big 12? You know, maybe a little underrated, but Kansas was a dominant performance. A lot of people were picking that Northeastern upset. And then Baylor, I saw a lot of people with Syracuse as one of their locks, and Baylor won by 10 and were in control of that game throughout the night. That was impressive for the Big 12.
A lot of people pick Syracuse because of Jim Boeheim and what he's done in the past, and it seems like every year lately they've come in as like a – you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seed, and then they go to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. Scott Drew apparently coaches his best in March because every year it seems like Baylor is right there and making a run in the NCAA tournament. And I'll be real interested to see what happens today. You know, K-State's going to go most likely without Dean Wade, against a really good UC Irvine team. And they've been Dean Wade dependent pretty much all year. I mean, you remember Texas beat them in Manhattan by 20 when they didn't have Dean Wade. It's a big day for this league. I think this league really wants to prove it's as good as it seems. Texas Tech gets Northern Kentucky, and Texas Tech is in that really. You know, I looked at that quadrant. I just thought, man, I don't know who's going to come out of there. I mean, you got Michigan, Tech, Buffalo, and Florida. And Florida, I thought was kind of an upset at Nevada last night. I thought Nevada was pretty good too. So. Whoever comes out of that quadrant is going to be in really good shape because that's a real, real tough thing right there. And I think Texas Tech is, you know, maybe the best team, if not Michigan. I think Texas Tech is right there. So it's certainly a big day for the league. It's certainly a big day for Houston too. I mean, you know, the Cougars really, really think they are one of the best teams in the country. So it'll be interesting to see what Kelvin Sampson's team can do against Georgia State and then moving on from there.
Are you excited about tomorrow morning, the first show, getting everything
really
together and cranking it up?
I really am. You know, this is something that, you know, like Aaron said when we came on earlier in the week, we've been working on it for a couple months now. And, I think Carl and I have been real excited to start something like this. We're really hoping that – I think for – you know, we talked about this Monday a little bit, but, you know, golf can be, slow and a lot of people watch on Sundays and fall asleep on the couch. And Carl and I are kind of hoping to bring something different where it's a little more entertaining. It's really local. We talk about a lot of the golf courses in our area, some of the best holes. You know, we're going to have Joe Ogilvie. Tomorrow morning we're going to have Dale Morgan from Austin Country Club on to talk about, you know, the 2 days away from Dell Match Play and all the preparations that went into it for them. And so I think we're real excited just to see, you know, kind of the entertaining side of golf and what a lot of the local courses and some of the places, maybe a lot of guys don't play a whole lot, you know, some of the places that may open their eyes to those places.
Well, and I will say this, I've been trying to find the right people to host a golf show for a while for our station, because it's something I think we need in this community and certainly on this radio station. But the key for me is it's got to be people that love golf. I mean, love the game and love to play and love to talk about it. And I've been sitting with you and Carl and certainly Joe Ogilvie as well. And I mean, certainly you and Carl, I mean, love the game of golf, whether you're playing it or talking about it. And I think people will get to know Carl Mickelson as well, because he knows a lot about the game behind the scenes and a lot of the things that are happening with the game. So the love of the game, I think, will come through this show every Saturday morning at 7.
And we're certainly open to have Carl's brother Phil on a whole lot, because that's a big part.
No, yeah, he's not the first guest.
He's not. no relation to Phil Mickelson, unfortunately. But Carl has a long history in the game of golf. If you know local golf in Austin, you know him. You know Dave Pell's golf and everything Dave does for your short game. Carl's worked with Dave for, you know, 20 plus years now, and does a fantastic job there. And you know, Carl knows all the ins and outs of golf. So, you know, that'll be the really fun side of this, is to get his real expertise on it and my just love for the game and kind of blend the two and see where it goes.
No, I love it. That's my connection. The only connection I have with my father is the game of golf, and that's it. And the more I play, the more I enjoy playing golf, and the more competitive I get with myself. And not, you know, I play with my buddies for some cash, but it's really competitive for me. And what I like about golf that I'm seeing a lot of, you know, people talk about golf and it's an elitist sport. It really is. And there's so many great courses that you can get out there and play for the right amount of money and play all day and have a great time. But there's so many women that are playing golf. Now, on a Saturday, I don't play golf on the weekends because I don't want to be behind them, but to tell the truth. But because they're extremely slow and some other things. But I'll just say this. The more I look out there, Bob, there are so many women involved in the game of golf and getting into it and loving it.
Bucky, let's start with this. There are a lot of slow men, really, really slow men that play golf too. So I don't want to.
Hey, can you guys make that a major focus on your show? The speed of the game, please. That's why it's called playing through. You're playing slow. You're playing through. I like it, but you pick it up there, Bob.
I just thought that was funny. I've played behind them. That's why I know that. I'll be honest. I can't wait to get a club in my daughter's hand. She's 16 months old, and I've got, you know, a lot of my best friends here. I live in Cedar Park, and a lot of them get their kids and go out and play on the weekends. And, you know, you see all the pictures they post and how much fun the kids are having just running around the course and swinging the club. And
yep.
I think that's a big part of this game. We've got to grow it. Everybody talks about growing this game, and I know there are a lot of memes and a lot of things that make fun of it, but it really is true. We need to figure out ways to speed up the game a little bit. There are, you know, talks of making 13-hole courses and ways to, you know, Jack Nicklaus, those are his biggest things. It needs to be cheaper. It needs to be quicker. And it's not just because of I know Bucky says this a lot, the millennial, you know, society and those kind of things. It's not just because of that, but that is a part of it. I mean, people need things quicker and they need them now. And, you know, when I say to my wife, hey, I'm going to go play golf, she's like, well, that's a 6-hour day because it's going to be an hour before getting ready, driving there, all that stuff, playing for 4.5 hours, having a beer afterwards, whatever it is. And that's a long day. And so I think that's one of the things they're trying to figure out is what's the best way to speed up the game. And obviously that'll be a big discussion as Carl and I talk through a lot of this stuff. You know, what can you do to keep it entertaining and keep it moving?
And I'm one of the culprits of it. I refuse to move up to the white tees, because if I move it up to the white tees, the guys I play with, guess where they're going to move?
Well, right there with
you. They're going to go right. They're not going to let me go to the white and they stay at the blues. But I just refuse to do that. And that takes a little bit of time, you know. And you have to just give up some of the things that you do. You know, when you're in the golf course and you're out there and you want to play by the rules, if you're not giving in to balls that are in the leather and things like that, if you're walking behind and kneeling down, I'm seeing guys squat and plumb bob. I'm going, what are you plumb bobbing? You really don't know what you're doing. Just putt the ball. Enjoy the game.
For a $3 putt?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like we're, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are people that play for a lot of money and they take their time and all that kind of stuff. But
Bob, I will bite your finger off for a $3 putt. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? You're giving putts away? I'll take one of your fingers off for $3 on the course.
I'll give you a one-footer.
Okay.
I'm happy to give you a one-footer.
All right.
Hey, listen, Bob, we're looking forward to it. Here's a text that says, when does the golf show start? It is tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. It's playing through with Bob Alou and Carl Mickelson. Looking forward to hearing it and being a part of its growth. I know it's going to take off. Looking forward to it. Thanks for partnering with us on this, Bob. We're looking forward to having you as part of the lineup.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for the opportunity. Carl and I are very excited. We hope to hear, see and talk to you all tomorrow morning at 7.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Tune in, 7 a.m. It's our leadoff batter of our Saturday morning off-the-grid programming. We're excited about it. And this guy says, when does the new disc golf show start?
No, you can forget that.
I don't know. We got some hours to give.
God.
No, listen, that's always a fascinating conversation of how to speed up golf. I would say, you know, the folks in the golf industry, they're from the golf industry. I've always thought golf courses need more people from the entertainment side of things. Like some of that top golf mindset on a golf course would be good. Not your country club where you want it your way, but just for Joe Fan, you know, to really play. And I was in a place yesterday. I went after the show and over to there's a place, you know, where your old Trudy's used to be.
Yes.
Right there in Brody, Lamar and
right.
Ben White, right there. There's that shopping plaza. The Neiman Marcus outlet is there, whatever
right.
you call that place. There's a place called Rock Golf now, R-O-K Golf. We're going to start partnering with them on some things with our golf show and some other things. They're going to be out at Horn Bash, Brian and the crew at Rock Golf. You go inside, Buck, and it's indoor hitting bays. It's awesome. It's interactive. They have the TrackMan technology. I played an entire 18 holes on the course that the Valspar is on in Tampa in about 40 minutes. Played
really?
The entire course. So I'm playing that course while at Innisbrook while it's on TV behind me. And they've got TVs. You can bring in your own food. You can get memberships. And it's a really great place to go in. And if you want to have fun with the game, learn, get better, and you don't want to be out on the golf course and taking 4 or 5 hours, that's a great place to go in and learn. It's called Rock Golf. It's right there, ROK Golf. Go in and see those guys. They'll be partnering. But there are more ways. I mean, look, if you like to swing the golf club, go out and play Topgolf. But that's more for, you know, eating and drinking, and it's kind of like bowling for golfers. But
sure.
Rock Golf's for real golfers. I mean, you also can get instruction in there. You also get but you can take your buddies in there and play around. That place fills up when it's raining. Like people,
well, of course it does.
When the weather's got good and people want to get in and still play their round, Rock Golf is the one place I would highly recommend if you do want to get in, learn the game, but certainly play.
I just love the game because it just challenges me mentally.
Oh, that sure it is.
And it does physically. And, you know, and like Tom Kite was saying, you have to be ever changing. And it took me such a long time. I played with Cleveland Blades for about 20 years. I've never should have had a blade iron in my hand ever. It was like a butter knife. And I went into someone and said, listen, you are older now. You need to change. There's a lot of things you need to change that will help you.
Yeah, get some of those.
Senior shafts.
Senior shafts, you know, some of the hybrids.
Because I hated the word senior shaft.
And, you know, hybrids.
But then again, I have a senior shaft. You know what I'm saying? I've got senior shafts.
Hey,
what am I supposed to do? If you got a senior shaft.
Graphite?
No, they're not quite. Still metal, still steel. You know what I'm saying? But it's different.
Do you have hybrids?
I only go to a 7-iron. From that point on, everything is some kind of hybrid.
That's it.
I only
and
go
for
to 7.
For folks who don't know golf clubs, hybrids is a hybrid between an iron and a wood. So it kind of is the hybrid of the two. But it, for older folks, gets the ball up in the air.
I don't know how to hit like 3 woods and five irons and 3 irons and 4 irons. I know you do. I can't. Yeah, but you're still young enough you can do that. I can't swing through. If I make contact with the ground, guess what happens? And my back goes crazy.
This is, speaking of golf, there's a PGA store opening near the Domain.
Ooh.
Oh, that's right. It's called PGA Superstore.
That's a, ooh, yeah.
We're working with them to be a part of the golf show, too. I can promise you that. That place is going to be rock 'em sock 'em if you love golf. Yeah, PGA Superstore.
Store?
If you've ever been in one of those, they have a couple in Dallas. They're huge. You can spend the afternoon at the PGA store, no doubt. All right, so good stuff with Bob Alou. Little hoops. I hope his little daughter gets better, and he can watch all the basketball today. We'll come in with some of the upsets, some of the ones that you might want to call your cousin on today. We've got 16 more basketball games tipping off inside 2 hours from right now, so we'll talk about them. Also, the other top stories of the day, and who can't wait to see Zion Williamson tonight? Mr. Leaps coming. We'll be ready for that. We'll get you all the tips for your bracket today. Coming back, B&E on the Horn.
B&E.
B&E with you on this Friday. Enjoy the sunshine this morning. Could be some clouds rolling in this afternoon. And then, as Buck has said, the rain coming Saturday. maybe even into Sunday, but looking good for early next week and into next week for the early part of the Dell Match Play, which tees off on Wednesday. Excited about that. We talked 1 hour ago to Tom Kite, the World Golf Hall of Famer. His thoughts on Tiger Woods making his first ever appearance in the city of Austin in a professional tournament. That'll happen next week. Also, all things Dell Match Play. Thanks to Bob Ballew. People keep asking about the Big Ugly Outdoors. No, we're actually shortening the Big Ugly Outdoors with Casey Stutter by 1 hour. Starting tomorrow, that's going to make room for the golf show playing through. But we have more plans to work with Casey on Saturday mornings for some other initiatives we're working towards. So we'll be announcing those in the coming days, but pretty excited about it. Look at this picture, Buck, that I just saw come through on Twitter. A picture of CBS correspondent Shannon Wolfson standing next to Central Florida big man Taco Fall.
That dude can play, too. Look out for that.
7 foot six. Look at that picture of those two together. That's unbelievable. She comes up to his hip. That's a big, looks like a cardboard cutout. Guy's a giant. Taco Fall.
He can play, man.
Is he a baller?
Yeah, he's a baller. Where'd you see him? Obviously, he can block
shots. I've seen him on the floor, but we'll see what he can do today with Central Florida in action in the Mets.
Against, I think, Shaka Smart's old team.
BCU, that is accurate. That is correct. They played today.
Who did make the tournament.
And that line is 1 point. That's a one-point game. That's a pick'em game, essentially, for Central Florida and BCU, so it should be a gooder.
By the way, you know Texas does play this weekend in basketball, correct? We haven't
Sunday.
Mentioned.
I would mention a few times.
We did? We actually really mentioned it, though?
It's been in each one of my headlines, and you know, Craig Way had it.
Not a discussion, though, at all. Is there anything to discuss about that at all?
Xavier? Yeah, they're... You know, Texas is, if they can win this game, they can head to New York.
Do you like Texas against Xavier at home? I don't.
I would lean no, but that's, you know, I wasn't real impressed with Texas against South Dakota State because, you know, they were up 19-0 and had to hold on and fight and claw for a victory. That's a game you should just put away. And
but what I'm not impressed is Xavier is out of the Big East still, correct?
Yeah.
Are they a Big East team?
No, I mean, they're a rough and tumble team out of Cincinnati that can play. Yeah. I mean, I look, that's the whole point of Texas. You don't know. Do I expect to get another 26-point performance out of Dylan Osikowski on Sunday? No.
Not against the Xavier kids?
I wouldn't pick it. But again, that's, you know, they're going to, you know, Shaka Smart was excited to get a victory. There's no doubt with
the
win.
Yes, he was.
And they finished the season 1-6 and, you know, down the stretch, or 1-5 in their last six and needed that victory. We'll see. Now, everybody's talking about Shaka Smart, and the Austin American Statesman has reported that if he doesn't leave to take another job, he's not going to be terminated by Texas. That's been their report. But so people keep texting that when jobs come open, Alabama's come open, Avery Johnson's out at Bama, Bryce Drew is out at Vanderbilt. It does look like, according to reports, that Wake Forest is going to hold on to Danny Manning, and Danny Manning will return. But these things will all play out in the coming weeks, and,
yes,
and we'll see. But, I mean, there are certainly issues with the Texas basketball program that are not just, I mean, the wins and losses are obvious. I mean, it's a 500 program. And
right,
below
it's about
that,
the culture, as you say. It's,
culture.
That's what it's about.
How Shaka operates. The one thing I would say for Shaka Smart, it's similar to your former boss, John Makovic. Shaka Smart has not built many alliances at Texas, which is odd. He doesn't.
Can't survive here unless you do that.
I mean, he doesn't have a lot. He doesn't have a real close connection with a lot of the former players that have played at Texas. Not just players who played for him, which he does have, but the former players of Texas who still live in this area and hang out. It's not like, you know, Tom Herman at football has embraced the former players coming to practices and hanging out.
Mack Brown.
Yeah, you just haven't seen that with Shaka, and I'm not sure how he operates. I mean, it's kind of a weird way that he delegates power in his own program, and you know, he's missed on a lot of evaluations and recruitments and, you know, whatever. Well, but that it's Chris Del Conte's decision of how he's going to, of how, and, you know, Chris.
This university doesn't work that way. I like I said, to go to places and see how it works, this place is totally different. You have to, you may want to coach and just be the coach, but if you're not part of the social in crowd here and shaking hands and getting out there and doing a lot, as I said, you know, for the last two coaches in Austin, Texas, the African American coaches here, I don't know if it's comfortability, but I know this: you have to be a part of the social deal. You have to have whether you hate the Austin American Statesman, but they got to know that you're at this outing or this and that. And I never saw Charlie. When Charlie was here, I never saw him become a part of that.
The community.
You can stick your head to the, you know, people who put their nose to the grindstone and say, this is how I work. It doesn't work that way here. You have to be out there. whether you like it or not, and you say, you know what, I'm going to show you, I'm going to win because I'm going to be in the office all day long. I don't have time to be at social events in the evening. Well, you better win.
Well, yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
Well, the winning comes first. You've got to win and build a culture, and that's something that hasn't happened. But beyond that, the connections he's built with the community, with the former players.
You have to be out there.
Yeah, and he's not. And that's where I say it's kind of like Makovic. I remember the day ends of Makovic. He just didn't have any supporters. Like, he just hadn't created – there's no one advocating for him. There's no one saying –
that's a part of being out there.
Well, that's a part of building and connecting with people.
Yes.
And building relationships with people. And so right now, by my read, Shaka doesn't have the big money advocating for him. The former players aren't advocating for him. The fans certainly aren't advocating. So who do you have? If you don't have support of those people, you haven't built that alliance. And obviously, if he were, winning basketball games and playing in this tournament, no one would care about those things. But
that's right.
When you hit the tough times like it is right now, there's not a lot of people, out there to
and it's not a kiss. It's not a kiss ass thing. It just works that way here. It just has seemed to always work that way here.
Well, then we've certainly seen it in football, and that's how you have to connect with the community and with people. And certainly in football, you got to connect with the big donors. I mean, you've got to know who they are and let them know you appreciate them. And we'll see. That's where Shaka is right now. But the reports from the Statesman are that he'll be back. So, is that a good thing? Is it about the money? Is it about the buyout, the $13 million? And Shaka Smart did say after the Big 12 tournament that he's happy in Austin, that he wants to be here. So that's something I had questioned. Because, look, when the parallels to Charlie Strong are certainly evident to everyone. There was Charlie Strong wanted out of Austin. I mean, there was a real feel that he wanted out. And last year, Shaka Smart actually flirted with the Georgetown job. And I was told by some people close that he could have had the Georgetown job if he had wanted it. He's been there. So how attached to Austin is he? That becomes the question, and Chris Del Conte and he will have to have that conversation. But unlike his predecessor, Steve Patterson, for Chris Del Conte, hopefully if he does decide to move on from Shaka Smart, he will at least bring him in the office and meet with him face-to-face. Certain he would, but it's something that Steve Patterson did not do, and it's still shameful that Rick Barnes was let go that way after almost two decades of coaching some pretty good basketball at Texas. He didn't even get the courtesy, hey, come in and let's
go face-to-face?
Yeah, he didn't get that. Didn't get it. Isn't that terrible? Terrible. Terrible. Hey, how about basketball today? We'll take your thoughts on Shaka, of course, that ongoing conversation. It will continue into next week. We also have basketball today. What's your favorite game today? Do you have a favorite game that you got to be to the TV to check this out? Obviously, to see Duke play, that'll be a blowout. But there, to see Zion Williamson is always must-see TV. Maybe the Oregon-Wisconsin game could be the game of the day.
I think so.
I mean, you got a red-hot Oregon team. Big Ten went 5-0 yesterday. That's going to be a fun basketball game, I think. Utah State and Washington should be a real up-tempo fun game.
Washington doesn't thrill me. They didn't thrill me at the end of the season, so.
And my big upset today, UC Irvine, the 13 seed, taking down K-State. I think they're going to win that game outright. They're getting 5 points in the line, but I think they're going
to
win that game.
And say goodbye to your bracket with Iowa beating Cincinnati today.
I want to see Iowa State, Buck.
Iowa State, Ohio State, that's a good game. Cyclones. There's Adam Wagner chiming in.
Yeah, I think that Ohio State just barely stumbled in there. So we'll see.
It's not like your Iowa Hawkeyes. The Big Ten. Like, Iowa's been playing like garbage down the stretch. I mean, garbage.
They're garbage, are they?
Well, no, they've been playing like garbage. They've been slumping. Iowa State, what are they?
It's garbage!
22-11, but their last six or eight games,
they're 22-11 in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Hey.
Cincy,
28-6. This
will be the one that makes it easy for Rick Barnes to continue on too, if Iowa can beat Cincy,
okay.
And that helps them out an awful lot.
Cincy's playing at home, right?
Yeah,
they seeded them in their own like.
Well, if they win,
city.
They're still
nice.
Going to be at home playing Tennessee.
That's right, and that's a big advantage for me. I'd like to pick I like Houston. I like Kelvin Sampson. It's a great story down at U of H. I mean, and they won 30-plus games this year. The 31-3. I'd like to look at Georgia State out of the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt. Georgia State's won 10 of 11 games.
They're good.
9 of 10 coming into this.
That whole Fun Belt had some good teams. Georgia Southern.
Georgia State's
Georgia
got
State.
One of the best offenses in the country. Here's my concern. I'd like to pick Houston or pick the upset with Georgia State or at least make this a great game. But Georgia State is so reliant on the three-pointer. And Houston's one of the best teams in the country in defending the three.
They are
so,
long.
If you're watching that Georgia State-Houston game today and tonight, if Georgia State's getting the threes up and they're making them, watch out. That game could get really, really interesting. But the Cougars are pretty dang good.
I like to know where the blowouts come in, because that game last night with poor Abilene Christian versus Kentucky, that thing was nasty from the get last night. That was like
big brother playing with little brother, and little brother saying,
come in here, try to. Or like when it was in, you know, in the
Abilene Christian scored 13 points in the first half. The entirety of the first half, they had 13 points. It was 40-13.
It reminded me of when those guys, when the NBA guys have those camps, and then the little kids come in to take the layup,
yeah,
and those guys swatted into the stands.
Get out of here.
And they're like, get out of here with that.
That was an over. I mean, the one you would most point to is Duke, obviously. That's the biggest line on the board today with the Blue Devils and their showdown with Southern Utah. Oh, no, that's Drake. Let me get to Duke.
Do you think that gets that way today, or do they just say?
I think it could.
Does he call off the dogs? But remember, the dogs for them are
North Dakota State. I'm sorry.
The dogs for teams like that are their third teamers who are better than the guys that start for you.
Yeah, 27 is the line for Duke. I mean, the one everybody will be watching is Virginia. Virginia is a 21-point favorite over Gardner-Webb. And, you know, Virginia lost last year in the 116 game. I mean, they lost to Baltimore, Maryland County.
But their defense is so Gardner-Webb could score 10 in the first half.
We'll see. That's one, you know, Tony Bennett and Jordan and Virginia, after what happened last year,
they're going to be gripping a little bit.
Well, either gripping or like really serious. Like, because sometimes when those upsets happen, you take a team lightly, especially if you've come off a pretty grueling season and a conference tournament.
Well,
and
they won't take it lightly today, I don't believe.
I don't think so, after last year's embarrassment and bracket busting loss that they had. So those are some of the better games of the day. I think, you know, the Big 12 fared well last night. Well, we'll see. I do think Iowa State, I do think Texas Tech are going to win their game today.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think K-State's winning. I don't think K-State. I got UC Irvine. Anteaters. Give me the Anteaters.
I got to beat
Rise Up.
Rita Ballou. I got K-State today.
Yeah, we got to check. On Monday, we'll check scores with you and Rita Ballou. And someone asked if Bob Ballou is related to Rita Ballou. That is no.
That's his sister,
not.
Right? No?
No, and Carl Mickelson is not related to Phil Mickelson. That is not true. But
okay.
Carl Mickelson, who's part of the group that will make up our golf show playing through on Saturday mornings, no relation. But he has worked for a long time with Dave Pels, our good friend.
Dave Pels.
That was loud. The short game guru.
Yes.
And Dave Pels has coached Phil Mickels.
Absolutely.
For a long, long time on his short game. So, you know, there's some connection.
So Carl does know Phil.
Yes, he does know Phil.
Yes.
But they're not related.
No.
He probably wishes they were. You know what I mean? Be a good name to be, good family to be in.
You got that right.
All right. So we've got March Madness on the brain. Wags, you got any big upsets today? How'd you do on your bracket yesterday?
I got slaughtered, man.
Slaughtered?
Not looking good. I think I lost four games.
That's not bad.
Pull a bracket out.
12-4? That's what I went, 12-4. I wouldn't call that. Did you lose any of
your
as long as you don't lose a team that's got
making
a run.
I had Marquette going pretty deep.
Ooh, Marquette got smoked by Murray State. That's a bad pick.
Double on Marquette?
Yeah, man. Buck, you lost five games yesterday.
I did.
All right. Well, we'll see how this goes today. And if you're right about Iowa beating Cincinnati, they'll crush me. You'll crush my soul.
Yeah,
with
the
that.
Thing about that.
Stop rooting for that, please.
Those are the good five games I lost. You know what I'm saying? You can lose those and you don't have them doubling up and winning two. Those are okay.
That's the bracket buster, right? That's why Virginia was a bracket buster. If you have Virginia in the Final Four and they lose in the first round,
no, you're done.
See ya. And Cincinnati would be for me because I've got them making a run out of their home area and then, you know, getting to the Final Four. But
I'm just pissed that I originally had Maryland beating Belmont, and I'm not going to go back. Well, they should have, but. Dadgummit, I had Maryland in there. I raced him and said, no, Belmont's going to win. Because I was listening to everybody saying Belmont's
going to win. Because Maryland's the fourth youngest team in the tournament, too.
Well, look, Belmont had that game. I mean, Belmont was a one-point game, and they had the ball. They didn't execute. BK was right on that they didn't call a timeout and get the right shot and get the right play called. They also used too much time, I felt like, especially, you know, in the scenario if you're up one. I don't really want to play for the last shot. I try to get a shot up by, you know, 12 or 13 seconds,
mm-hmm.
Try to get a rebound, and then you can still foul and get yourself another possession coming back down, just down three. That's all they could be up. But the amazing game was that New Mexico State game with Auburn. I mean, Auburn's up a point, and they foul a guy on a three. A, why is New Mexico State taking a three down one, which I never get, but it was a pretty decent shot from the corner. But they foul the guy, right? You see the end of this game? So they foul the guy. All the guy's got to do is go make two free throws. They're going to win this game, New Mexico State.
Then they have another chance.
He only makes, yeah. He misses two of the free throws, so then they get the rebound, and the dude misses a wide-open shot.
He is wide open in the corner, and he made it look so difficult. He had time to take a nice little step, and He fell into the stands on a three-point shot and went airball. Like, you can just, there's nobody on you. Why are you making it look difficult? So that if you miss it, you can tell everybody what a tough shot I had. Because he had all kinds of time. He could have dribbled that ball and waited and got a really good shot. He took the wildest looking shot you've ever seen.
And that's why afterwards, Bruce Pearl, the coach at Auburn, said, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You know, sometimes you need luck on your side. And that's what Auburn was yesterday. They were fortunate in that 12-5 matchup.
And the other one I took Marquette. I don't know. There's another Big East team I decided to take. When everyone else was talking Murray State, this Murray State team is that. They're this, they're that. I didn't buy that, and I got burned on that one yesterday.
I was drinking that Kool-Aid, too.
Way to go, Wags. All right, so we'll come back. We'll tee it up and tip it up, or we'll go with the golf parallel since we're talking golf this hour. We'll tee it up for our guys in the award-winning midday show, Trey and BK, and set up the day and the weekend here on the Horn. Also, reset some of your top stories. It's B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. Remember, busy weekend. Here's a quick note that says E and B. Can I get a shout-out to my pops, my dad? He turned 68 years old today. Name is Roy Scott. UT graduate class of 73. Played in the marching band during the national championship. Was a pilot who picked up Mack Brown when he was hired from North Carolina. So props to Roy Scott.
Congratulations, pops.
68 years young today.
Wow.
Have a good weekend. And, you know, today is March 22nd, which is, I guess we found out earlier, celebrated as National Goof Off Day. So might be a good day to go goof off.
That's getting right out of here and going to do just that. Goof off.
Go goof off. We won't be goofing off here on the Horn. We'll hand it off to the award-winning midday program, followed by Rod Babers. Chad and Kevin are out in Round Rock today. What's the sports bar? Rock Sports out there in Round Rock today, 3 to 7. So go out and see them. They'll be watching basketball again. They'll be hanging out. It's going to be a lot of fun out there in Round Rock today with Chad and Kevin. Texas baseball, 6:30 tonight, facing a very talented TCU team. They're only 13-6 on the year through 19 games.
Mm-hmm.
But they can hit and pitch. I mean, Jim Schlossnagel, that program has really dominated the Big 12 the last half decade or more. And this is a good team for them. They're going to face Nick Lodolo tonight, their ace. The junior left-hander, tremendous. I think he'll get the ball tonight. I got to look at the matchups, but they can really pitch and they can hit. I mean, they have a team batting average at TCU Buck of over 300. They're 314. This is just more of the same for Texas. They're going to see quality arms.
It doesn't stop. It just keeps on going for them. It looks like
they're going to see quality. You know, at bats, a guy Jake Gunther, their big home run hitter there. He's batting almost 400 this year for TCU. So that'll be a fun game. We'll have the calls all weekend long. And by the way, that Sunday game when Texas plays TCU in the final game of that three-game set in Fort Worth, you'll hear that game on AM 1260 and 101.9 because here on the Horn we're going to have Texas basketball when the Longhorns play. Or here on 104.9 we'll have Texas hoops against Xavier.
Cool. And I'll be ready for it too tonight. I'm going to be sitting back just chilling out tonight.
Goofing off?
Yeah, Friday's my chill-out night. I don't do much of going places on Friday. Friday nights is... Settle down, big boy. Settle down.
Settle down.
Oh yeah, it's been a great night for basketball for me.
You gonna call your cousin?
This could be a cousin weekend. Calls? Cousin, yeah. Basketball's a little different because I am the doctor of bracketology, so my cousin gets calls.
Taking some money from my buddies.
And better not be right about Iowa. Cincinnati.
Eight and eight did not make it for me and my cousin yesterday. You can't have an 8-8.
Yeah, eight and eight was
with the lines.
Well, you know, it depends on which eight. You didn't have to bet on all 16, but
of course I did. If you're going to call your cousin, what are you going to do, two or three? Go the gamut.
Well, you actually didn't have to bet on all 16 games. I mean, and you certainly didn't have to bet on all 16 underdogs or all 16 favorites.
Yeah.
Because if you bet on all the favorites, you went 8-8. If you went all the underdogs, you went 8-8.
Yeah.
And but if you
I went 8-8. Well, I got a couple of those from yesterday that play into today. I don't just do it for one day.
Well, there is a sense that the law of average, because there wasn't a lot of... You know, madness yesterday. There wasn't a lot of craziness. I mean, the New Mexico State Auburn finish was crazy, but you know, Belmont was good. But there wasn't that moment, right? The one shining moment. We didn't get many of those.
Who was favorite in that game yesterday?
Who?
With Belmont? Were they the favorite?
Oh well, if you had the underdog as I did, Belmont was Maryland was favored by 3.5.
Come on, man.
Yeah, the hook got you if you had the favorite.
The hook. What's the hook doing in basketball? The hook should only be in football.
Why?
I guess you can pay for the hook to be gone, I guess.
Yeah, Maryland was 3.5. They won by 3, so
yes,
Belmont didn't win but covered. You know, that's the way that plays out today. It'll be a lot of fun. Four Big 12 teams in action, three number one seeds in action, North Carolina, Virginia, and Duke. And
always remember, Duke is Duke.
Duke is Duke. I was thinking about this for the next round, though. When Duke blows out South Dakota, whoever they're playing today, whatever Dakota, who are they playing? They're playing North Dakota State.
North Dakota State.
You know they could get in the next round? Because they're going to get the winner of the Central Florida-Virginia Commonwealth game.
You're going to be that big, tall dude?
Yeah, you could have Duke up against Taco Fall, the big 7'6 guy, and no team in this tournament gets more points from the paint than Duke.
I know.
And then you got this big 7'6 dude.
And that guy, and he's...
And remember, Duke shoots a lower, the lowest three-point shooting team that one of the worst in the country. And
Taco is not timing challenged. He times up his blocks really nicely at 6'7".
How about Zion up against Big Taco?
That'd be great.
You could get that in your on Sunday. Could happen Sunday.
I want that.
Both UCF and Duke were winners today. They would play Sunday. All right. Hey, enjoy the basketball. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. Enjoy it.
Buck, enjoy being your wife being out of town, that kind of stuff.
Again.
You know? Again. Wags, have a good weekend. Brad Kellner, Trey Ellinger next with the Midday Show. Remember, every hour podcast at hornfm.com. Tune in tomorrow morning, bright and early, the debut of our golf show, Playing Through, and the Saturday morning lineup to follow with Casey and Colonel and the crew. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you on Monday.